This is the first day of June 2010. One of my favorite moments of Sesshin is after having worked in preparing Teisho words and concepts and ideas and books, authors, balance it out, see what can be interesting. One really needs to say, it's just simply walking in, dropping all the ideas, dropping the books, the thoughts, and simply walk up to the altar, light the incense, and offer with three prostrations the Teisho to the Buddha. Knowing that whatever comes out in Teisho regardless of what one has prepared will be a reflection of oneself. And it's really, I just feel in my body how it, my whole body just centers in the walking down, just through movement, concentration, and the practice comes back in the Zendo. It's a great moment. And in this Sesshin, I want to work in the paramitas. Paramitas is the perfections. It's how a Buddha or Bodhisattva acts. It is the way he naturally behaves towards himself and to others. As you all know, practice is a never-ending process. Doesn't finish with an opening or with many openings. It's a continuing process. And certainly, having finished what the formal part of training, it's just a stepping stone to the ongoing practice of expressing our true nature. It really doesn't matter where we are in practice or how practice expresses itself through us. We can always go deeper and wider So the paramitas are just simply guidelines in that sense. They can help us in our practice to become what we are already. They were developed in the around the year 300 of our era. It first appeared as descriptions of the behavior of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and around 6th century to the 6 original ones were added. When the Mahayana school appeared, 4 more were added, so they became 10 in the Mahayana tradition. So you have the 6 original ones and then the 10, 4 more that were added, so 10 as they are now practiced. But many teachers now, books, will only refer to 6. Others like Aiken Roshi, in his book The Practice of Perfection, dedicated to only the paramitas, he expresses his thanks for those extra 4. As they round up the whole concept of the paramitas. So let's just simply take the first one, and we'll mix up the background material with the paramitas as we go along, instead of trying to cover up the whole today and make it more lively from the very beginning. The first one is dana. Dana has been translated as generosity, has also been translated as giving. That's Stephen Batchelor and Trungpa Cutting Through Spiritual Materialism says that the basic element of this giving or generosity is communication. So we have a pick and we can pick and choose. But basically, dana is the generosity of giving ourselves to others. Let me start with the most difficult part of giving, of generosity. And that is giving up our own ideas about ourselves and others. Let me give you an example of myself to illustrate this. As I was coming to Sichin, I was getting ready to leave home, finishing packing with the pressure of time, going to still for 1 hour to the office and then to the airport. My wife came home to say goodbye. But she finds it difficult to see me leave and causes pain. And so instead of letting the pain come out and saying, well, I'm sad you're leaving, and I leaving in a sad note, she covered it up with being a little angry about something else. Oh, this didn't happen. I thought it had happened. So, as couples do, three phrases later, we were upset with each other. I did not have the generosity to see that she was really trying to tell me that she was in pain at seeing me go. I just saw her demanding comments. And so I also became angry. Of course, after about three or four phrases, we both realized what we were doing, dissolved in laughter, were able to make the issue aside. What happens all the time? We are not generous with others, or we can't give to others what is most valuable to us, which is ourselves. Ourselves is what is most valuable. And because we've been accustomed to covering up our pain and discomfort, either with anger, which is the favorite one, or other feelings. Anger comes towards others or towards me, to others through insults, you stupid idiot, how can you do that? Or towards oneself with regrets, always banging the head against the wall. Why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that? But it's really, this anger is really covering up our pain, our insecurity, our wanting to be loved, a yearning that's there and that's not being met by others. It's extremely difficult to give ourselves to others in this situation. And One of the things is to simply drop the issues. Drop the hurts. Drop and drop and drop. And not take it personally. It's extremely difficult to give space to others. Say, okay. Doesn't matter, I'm hurt. You go first. I won't react to your anger. I won't react to your resentment. I won't react to your regrets. I won't react to your demanding mood. Just let you do it. That is difficult. But that's giving. That's giving ourselves. That's really opening up. It's really understanding that others have their own karma, just as we do. I do. It's understanding that we all have our personal history to work with, our own karma. Sometimes we try to help others, protect others, because they're weaker than ourselves. And you can't really help a person when you're doing that. I don't remember exactly the quote, but there's this king that wants to be generous to his people. And the master says, oh, poor people. Poor people. Wants to help them. A king should be a king. Why poor people? Because he's coming from a position of power. And yet, others demand that he helps. So how can you help? How can each one of us help? When someone asks for help, that person who's demanding help is certainly in a position below us. Like all this generosity linked to, we'll put your name on the chair you donate. Is that generosity from our practice point of view? A stepping stone will have your name, and then you go into this big auditorium and see all these names on the floor. All the people who have given. giving from a position of power is not necessarily giving. When we feel weak, weaker than others, and look for their protection, it's protection we want, not generosity. But the person who gives usually says, "Oh, you see how generous I am? How good I am?" So, dana, from a spiritual point of view, is when we truly give up ourselves. No thought in the mind. No ifs. No buts, no maybe, Trungpa and generosity has communication must transcend irritation. Otherwise it will be like trying to make a comfortable bed in a briar patch. Communication must be radiation and receiving and exchange. Whenever irritation is involved, that might be a mild way of putting it, irritation, be anger, resentment is involved, then we are unable to see properly and fully and clearly the spacious quality of that which is coming toward us, that which is presented itself as communication. The external world is immediately rejected by our irritation, which says, "No, no, this irritates me, go away." Such an attitude is the complete opposite of transcendental generosity. So the Bodhisattva must experience the complete communication of generosity, transcending irritation and self-defensiveness. Otherwise, when thorns threaten to prick us, we feel that we are being attacked, that we must defend ourselves. We run away from the tremendous opportunity for communication that has been given to us, and we have not been brave enough even to look to the other shore of the river. We're looking back and trying to run away. Looking back and trying to run forward, that's pretty tricky. Generosity is the willingness to give, to open without philosophical or pious or religious motives, just simply doing what is required at any moment, in any situation, not being afraid to receive anything. Opening could take place in the middle of a highway. We are not afraid that smog or dust or people's hatreds and passions will overwhelm us. We simply open, completely surrender, give. This means that we do not judge, we do not evaluate. We attempt to judge or evaluate our experience if we try to decide to what extent we should open, to what extent we should remain closed. Then openness will have no meaning at all, and the idea of paramita, of transcendental generosity, will be in vain. Our actions will not transcend anything, will cease to be the act of bodhisattvas. Going to Eiken Roshi. He says dana is relinquishing. Dana is intimately tied with karma, cause and effect, while its neglect has inevitably consequences. And here he makes a quote from Lewis Hyde, The Gift, landmark book, The Gift. When property is hoarded, thieves and beggars begin to be born to rich men's wives. Today's sounds a little biased towards women. But he brings it into the sphere of surrendering, and relinquishing. Relinquishing is what we let go. Of ourselves. He quotes Dogen Senji. One should give even a single coin or a single blade of grass of resources. It causes roots of goodness in this age and other ages to sprout. Teaching too is treasure. Material resources are teaching. It must depend on the will and aspiration. When one learns well, being born and dying are both giving. Being born and dying are both giving. Our productive labor is fundamentally giving. Entrusting flowers to the wind, birds, to the season, also must be meritorious acts of giving. It is not only a matter exerting physical effort, one should not miss the right opportunity. Giving is to transform the mind of living things or living beings. One should not calculate the greatness or smallness of the mind, nor the greatness or smallness of the thing. Nevertheless, there is a time when the mind transforms things, and there is giving in which things transform the mind. So, in this session, in this very seat where each one of us is, transcendental generosity to others in the session and to ourselves is to open our hands, our hearts, and drop everything that's in the way of our practice. Includes ideas of others. That includes idea of the past deeds of others, of ourselves, of the future. Of expectations. The list of things to be achieved during Sesshin, we can drop those too. And just simply breathe. Simply move. Simply, what is it? Or whatever is your practice. There is the generosity of giving up yourself, your little self. Little tiny and useful ego. It's not destroying your ego. It's not cutting up into pieces. Just simply removing it from the throne of power it is now on. Just simply removing our ego. And its opinions of what's good or bad for oneself during practice. And then our intuition. Decide what is good for our practice. Please people lose time wondering how much to eat. How much should I eat? How much should I sleep? Eat what you need to eat. Sleep what you need to sleep. Do the yasa you need to do. Don't get into an argument with yourself. Should I or should I not? Well, I might be tired tomorrow. Tomorrow is tomorrow. You're sleepy, you're sleepy. Just take this generosity, this prajna, this paramita. And put it into your sesshin. Now, start practicing paramita. Generosity. Drop ideas of fears that might come up. My first sesshins, I used to sometimes get into a paranoid state of mind and would cross with a certain person and think, he's looking at me. He's not keeping his eyes down. What's his problem? Her problem. Are watching me. The monitors, it's the second time they come around. They haven't used the kyusaku on me. Haven't they seen how well I practice? I could use the kyusaku so well. Or the opposite. And not now. Oh, here it comes. Here it is. Can't they see I wasn't ready? Can't they see I'm practicing? Roshi Kaplo used to choose the persons to go to last doksan Saturday afternoon. Have a list, and people would be sent to the line. So you started seeing many straight backs, people who thought they would merit going to that line. I was one of them, certainly. I would straighten up and say, here I am. Look how well I'm practicing. Yeah, we do all kinds of things in sesshin. I deserve to go. Of course, I wasn't chosen. This is Sheen. The sesshin is a sesshin for beginner's mind. I'll tell you a little story about myself. I went to Costa Rica to Sesshin, 4 days Sesshin, 5 days Sesshin. And I got there Saturday, well, the day before, and then we took a ride to about an hour from the city of San Jose, where Roshi was waiting, where Sesshin was going to be held. We went in a pickup, and all of us bouncing back there, get to the place, and the headmaster says, "Oh, so you are the leader of the group in Mexico?" "Yes." "Well, you know how to time well?" "I was my ego." "Yeah, I time sittings, 2 hour sittings." "Okay, you're the timer of the Sesshin." "Well, I've never timed more than 2 hours, you know." "Oh, it doesn't matter. You know how to play the bell. Here's the bell. Go and practice." So I went and took the bell and started practicing, hitting the bell, and how good the bell was or wasn't, or how to hit it. And so the scene went by. Uneventful for the, unfortunately for the timer, well, a few mistakes, of course. Nothing serious, except the last day was doing Kinkin outdoors. Until the time came to ring the bell throughout the house. Suddenly I see the monitor come running towards me, pointing to his watch. And I point back with my watch to him. So it's watch against watch. And he says, "No, my watch." I say, "My watch." And there's 15 minutes difference in time. So he says, "This is the time." I say, "No." So I see my watch, and I see the it's not moving. No seconds. The watch is still. So he was right. So I run through the house, ringing bells and getting people up. And we go to Zendo, start the afternoon. And so we are sitting, and the head monitor and Roshi Kaplo are doing the list for the last doksa. And I look at my watch, and it's 3-4 minutes into a round. And I could kind of sense them. They would point at certain people, and one would say yes, one would say no. Roshi would say, "No, no, no, not that one. The one next to him." And they would say, "No, no, that one, that one." They would go back and forth, and I would look at the watch, 35, 36, 37, 38, last day, 39, minutes, and you can hear the groans of people as the time goes by. And of course the mind is beginning to wonder, what's going to happen after Sishin, how do I get back, my family, planes for us foreigners, people in Costa Rica, how are we going to celebrate the end of this, full of ideas. And you could just feel the... Yeah, you could just sense it. And people wondering if the timer is watch once again was out. And Roshi and the monitor kept arguing back and forth about who should be in that list. And of course they wanted to send the people before King Heen. Before King Heen started, send people down to the line. Suddenly I picked up the bell and rang the bell. And Roshi simply said, "That's it." He just accepted it. That's it. End of discussion. I mean, they could go away, finish their list. We could have our King Heen. It was a perfect example of letting go. Wasn't angry at me. He didn't come back and say, "Why did you ring the bell? No one told you to ring the bell." Didn't you know that people had to go? You knew that people had to be sent to Doksan before the end. No. He just dropped it. He just let it go. He just... That's it. That's it. That was one of the great lessons of that session. Just seeing Roshi saying, "That's it. That's it." It's dropping, 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 dropping. I was concerned. Nah, he didn't say a word. I opened my mouth and said, just simply said, "Drop it." He knew I was going to tell all kinds of explanations. People were anxious and it was time, and he knew it. He knew I was going to open my mouth and say something about it. Drop it. That's it. Let it go. Let it go. Now, time I made a mistake in translation. In a session with Sonia, and someone got Sonia Sensei, and someone got mixed up. "Oh, Gerardo said this, you said this. So, what is it?" She clarified it, and then she told me, and so. Three rounds later, the next break, I come and say, "Sonia, I'm sorry, I still..." "What? You're still carrying it? You're still carrying it?" She was absolutely right. Drop it. Drop it. Let it go. You cannot be generous if you have a bag full of regrets, a bag full of anger, a bag full of "you did." It doesn't matter who the person is. You can't. You truly, truly can't. It just poisons the practice to wonder why such and such a person did this or did that. Just poisons your practice. Fills your mind up with judging. So just drop whatever is bothering you. Let it go. And you will practice much better. Just before I finish, this is a small sesshin. And sometimes when I, in Teisho, when I get into a reflective mood, or I need to find how to say what I want to say, sometimes I lower my voice. And sometimes, because of that, sometimes some of you can't hear me. So if you can't hear me, you're welcome to move your mats closer to the first row or the second row, so being way back. Feel free to just simply take a seat closer. And after Teisho, just move back to where you are at right now. Feel free to do that, to move right in front of it, closer. If you have any difficulty hearing, whoever it is, you can just move your mat, your cushions, the whole show. Doesn't matter. Just come close and so you can hear better. And if you perceive that you made a mistake, just drop it. That's it. That's it. Just drop it. Perfection is a tool, or certain guidelines are tools so that we don't distract others, because we know what to expect from others in this so very tight environment. But perfection is something different. Perfection is in our minds. It's how we imagine the world is, or should be, and ourselves in it. Drop that perfection. Drop your notion of practice. Perfect practice that does not exist. What does exist is just this. This moment. This practice now. This breath, this koan, now, this instant. The rest are ideas that are in the way. We'll end up here and have the four vowels.